Shalom to all. Today's episode of Basadaf Kufiyud Gimel, we are starting 15 lines from the top with the words Amar Abavo. That's almost precisely halfway through the Amud. And today's office sponsor, Lila Nishmas, Marsh Mirim Sarah Basar Yaakov Moshe, her Nishama should have an Aliyah. And we continue discussing a man inheriting his wife, Amar Abavo, Amar Biechron, Amar Abiyanai, Amar Rebbe, Umatuba. Some are inclined to say that it was Mishmed Rabbi Shua ben Karcha, Minai Labasha Inu Netabu Roy Kibam Mochsek. How do we know that a husband doesn't take from Roy like he does Mochsek? Now, what are these two things? So Roy means fitting, something which is fitting or something that will eventually come to his wife. For example, his wife is an only child, so she will eventually inherit her father when he passes away, but her father's still alive, so all of her father's nechasim are just considered roi. They're fitting to go to the daughter, and mochsek is something the daughter's holding on to, for example, something that she brought into the marriage. So how do we know that a husband only gets mochsek and not roi? He doesn't inherit that which is fitting to come to his wife. For example, his wife passes away, so he gets whatever his wife currently has, and then shortly after his wife passes, his father-in-law passed away. His father-in-law's nechasim do not go to him because they were only roi. They were only fitting to go to his wife, but they weren't mochsik by her, and therefore the father-in-law's nechasim go to other more distant yarshim and not to the son-in-law, who's the husband that we're discussing. So how do we know this halacha is true? Remember, because the pasuk says, and we quoted this before, Uskuv halid is Yair, and Uskuv gave birth to Yair, vayilo esrim shalosh arim be'eretz ha-Gilad, and Yair had 23 cities in the land of Gilad. Now the question is, minayin liyar shalosh ha-Eloi l'Uskuv? How did Yair get these cities, and Uskuv, his father, didn't have them? El rather, malam it's teaching you, shenasa Uskuv isha, that Uskuv got married to a woman, umeza b'chayim Mayrisha, and she died in the life of Mayrisha. Mayrisha is someone who bequeaths his nechasim to her. Let's just use her father as an example. So she died in the life of her father, umesu marisheha, and then these marishim of hers died afterwards, v'yarsha Yair, and the grandson Yair, he inherited those because he gets inheritance through his mother, and Yair's father Sugov does not get them. So that's our raya. And v'amir, we have another pasuk, and we also quoted this previously, v'alazar ben Aaron meis v'yikbru v'gaymer, and Elazar ben Aaron died, and he was buried in the giva of Pinchas, his son. And we have the same thing, v'nayla Pinchas shalayhoi l'alazar. How is it that Pinchas had this giva, and it didn't belong to his father Elazar? This teaches us Shanasa Elazar Isha, that Elazar got married, Umesa Bechari Marisheha, and she died in the life of those who would bequeath their Nechasim to her, let's say her father, Umesa Marisheha, and then her Mayrishim died, Vyarsha Pinchas, and the grandson Pinchas inherited them, not the husband Elazar. Ask the Gemara, why do we need to have this other pasuk of Va'aymer? The answer is Vechitim, because you might say, Yar Dahavanas of Itza, that it was Yar who had married a woman, Umesa, and his wife died, Vyarta, and he inherited his wife. It's not that he inherited his mother's relatives as opposed to his father, it's that he inherited his wife. And in order to show that's not like that, Tamalayim, that's why we brought another pasuk, Velazar ben Aaron Mace, and that shows clearly that Pinchas got the Yerusha because of his mother and not because of his wife. And the question is, V'chitem is enough alay haramim. You might say this givel was acquired by Pinchas because of the stei haramim. A person that donated to the Beis HaMikdash didn't redeem it by Yoivol, and from then on it goes to the Kehanim. So maybe that's how Pinchas got it, and he didn't inherit it from his mother. And the answer to that is, Amakar, the pasuk says, Binoi. In other words, the pasuk tells us that Elazar was buried in the giv of Pinchas Binoi. Now, what do we learn from this word Binoi? Nachla Ru'yolai V'yarsha Binoi. This was a Nachla, technically was fitting for him, but his son inherited it. And there's two different ways of understanding this. According to Rashbam, it's telling us that Elazar and Pinchas went to Bezdin to see who inherits his giva, and Bezdin granted it to Pinchas and not to Elazar. That's what we're learning from this extra word Binoi. According to Ben Chananel, who's brought in the Rashbam, it's just from this extra word Binoi. We don't have to have it here. It's not relevant because we know that Pinchas was Elazar's son, and therefore it must be that's telling us that it went to Pinchas instead of going to Elazar. So we see from here that a husband does not Yarshin Roy like he does Mochsek. And we continue to explain the Mishnah B'nai Achais. This was telling us that nephews inherit their uncle. Let's say we have a brother and a sister, and the brother dies with no one to inherit him besides his sister. So the sister inherits him, and if she's not alive, it goes to her sons. The Gemara tells us, Tanu's taught in a Braisa, B'nai Achas V'loi B'nai Achais. Then this halacha is relevant to the sons of the sister and not the daughters of the sister, meaning the nephews of the deceased, not the nieces. Kovir Gimel Beis on top, the question is, L'mai Hilchasa, in regards to what halacha is this Braisa telling us this for? It can't be telling us that only the nephews inherit their uncle and not the nieces, because in the Torah we learn that the nieces will inherit. So what's the Braisa saying, that this applies to the nephews and not the nieces? Amar Sheshes, he answers, L'kadim, it means to coming first, namely that nephews will get the inheritance from their uncle before the nieces, before their sisters. How do we know this? And this is the proper Girsa. Did Tani Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak commit Rav Huna? Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak taught in front of Rav Huna, Vazak tells V'yarash, and he shall inherit, Makish Rusha Shnia, Rusha Rishayna. The second Rusha is compared to the first Rusha. Now this doesn't mean first and second, it really means first in line and second in line, meaning the people who come second in line or later on down the line in the order of Yerusha, they're compared to the person who comes first in line. By Yerusha Rishayna, just like when we're dealing with the first in line Yerusha, Ben Kadim Labas, a son comes before a daughter, Af Yerusha Shnia, so too, later on down the line, Ben Kadim Labas, a son comes before the daughter, and in this case, when we're talking about nieces and nephews vying for their uncle's Yerusha, the son comes before the daughter, namely, the nephews get before the nieces. And now we have another thing about Yerusha, Tani Rabba Bar Chanina, Kamed Rav Nachman, Rabba Bar Chanina taught in front of Rav Nachman, the Pasuk tells us, V'haya B'yam Hanchil HaZbanov, and will be on the day that he's Manchil to his sons, that he gives gives a Yerusha over. What do we learn from here? You can only give a Yerusha over during the day and not at night. So Amar Abaye Abaye asked him, El Me'ata, from now, meaning based off what you're saying, if a person dies during the day, then his sons will inherit him. If a person dies at night, his sons aren't going to inherit him, because it's mashma b'yom hanchila esbanav, only during the day and not at night. And that doesn't make sense. Therefore, Abaye suggests that maybe this is the understanding of the pasuk. Delma din nachlois kamret. Maybe you're saying this in regards to din of a nachla. And din over here means like dinei mamnis, a court case that has to do with monetary matters. D'tanya, we have a brass that tells us, v'haisol bnei Yisrael chukas mishpat. This pasuk is said after all the discussion of nachla in the psukim. And what do we learn from here? Ayra kol parsha kula liya is din. The entire discussion of nachla is established to be a din, meaning dinei mamnis is considered monetary matters. And we know that monetary matters are only allowed to be judged during the day. And this is Rav Yehuda, just like Rav Yehuda. Dam Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda tells us, shlosh shenichnasu levakar zachayla. Three people go in to visit a sick person, and he's a shchiv mira, he's on his deathbed, and he instructs these three people to give certain parts of his property to certain people. And so Ratzu Kaisvin, if they want, they could write this down in a shtar, and then they're just considered witnesses to what he said, but the ones who are going to actually be carrying out this person's last words are best and are going to be taking the shtar, and they're going to be the executors of his will. Whereas Ratzu Eisen Din, if these three people that went to visit the sick person want, they could make a din, meaning they could act as the best din, and they could be the ones to apportion these things out to the various people that the person mentioned. Whereas Shnayim, if two people went to visit this fellow and he told them he wants to give his property to this guy and that guy, Kaisvin Be'en Eisen Din, they're only allowed to write it down and they can't do a din because we need three people to be judges and there are only two, so at best they could be Adim that write it down in a shtar. Now, Amar Chizra, Chizda says, Lo Yishanu El Bayayim, this was only taught during the day, that they went to visit him during the day, so if there was three people, they could technically be Dayanim to be the executors of his will. Kofi Yadal and Ralph on top, Aval Balayla, but if they went to visit him at night and he gave them these instructions at night, Afilu Shloisha Kaisvin Be'en Eisen Din. Even if there were three people there, they would have to write it down in a shtar, and they can't make din, they can't be the dayanim. My time, why is that? Davlu edim, because they're edim. Ve'ein aid nasa dayon. A person who's an aid can't be a dayon. And the reason why we're forced to say they're edim and not dayanim is because it's the nighttime, and you can't judge dinei mamonis at night. So they're forced to be considered just regular edim. They have to write it down in a shtar, and a different bezdin would be the executors of that which they wrote down in the shtar. And so to make a long story short, Abaye is basically suggesting, perhaps this is the proper understanding of vayhi b'yom hanchila esbanav, that it's not talking about if a person dies during the day, then his Yerusha goes to his sons, but if he dies at night, the Yerusha doesn't go to the sons. It just means that we're only allowed to judge Dina Yerusha during the day, because it's Dina Mamanis, and Dina Mamanis has to be judged during the day. So I'm going to respond to him in Hachinami Kamina. That's exactly what I was saying. You just misinterpreted me originally to think that I was talking about something else, but I was really talking about what you're talking about, and we're all in agreement over here. We're going to stop here for the day and pick up tomorrow with something not really related. It's just going to have to do with what we just mentioned in the name of Rav Yehuda. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.